Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I get up every time I think about small business owners working so hard out there for all the things you guys do, working the high wire act in the marketplace without a net. I know how it is. I know what you do, and that's the reason why you're my heroes. Steve Malanga feels the same way about you. I know he does, because I've talked to him about it. Steve is a good friend of ours. He's a contributing editor with City Journal. He's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's the author of a book called The New Left, which he and I have talked about on this show before. And he specializes in urban economics and business communities and public policy. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. Today, you want to talk about the milestone that we hit yesterday, right?
That we apparently hit yesterday. That we apparently. I mean, it's a little bit like putting your finger up in the wind, you know. And no one knows exactly when we hit it. But
how many marbles are in this jar?
Exactly. That's exactly right. We're not counting them. We're just doing calculations.
That's right. So we think we think there are 300 million earthlings in the United States. Is that what we think?
More or less, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And but now the big debate was whether it was a Mexican who came across the border illegally, or if it was a baby boy or girl born in Sheboygan or whatever.
Right. Well, we'll never know that. But what we can sort of estimate is the extent to which the population is being driven by immigration, the extent to which it's being driven by the fact that we live longer in this country, by the birth rate of individuals who are already here. We know what the sort of contribution is, but we don't exactly know who number 300 million was.
Right. Well, you know, when I think of 300 million, there are two facts or factoids, maybe I should say, that pop into my head. One of them, when I used to think about it, you know, a year or so ago, was, you know, that's probably about to be the population of the United States. But Ted Fishman, our China expert in the Brain Trust, you may know Ted, says he's the one who wrote the book China Inc. He says that in China, the middle class in China is 300 million.
Right. Right.
Just the middle class.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, a number of people who I spoke with yesterday, particularly people in the media, you know, they see this sort of 300 million as a, you know, like a staggering number. And they think, you know, wow, we're elbowing our way. You know, we have to elbow each other out of the way now. We're so crowded. But, of course, that's not really the case in
No.
the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our density per square foot or per you know, our density per square foot doesn't come near, for instance, European countries.
Or Japan.
Yeah, exactly. And all you have to do is get on a plane these days and
That's right.
on a clear day, and you get a look at, you know, how much room there is in this country. So certainly, if you look at population centers like the one I'm in New York, it's pretty crowded around here, but it's part of it is that people are here by choice. And there has been a great migration in this country out of dense population centers to less dense places as people sort of, continue to explore their freedom, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve, I remember speaking of New York. I remember, what was it, 30 years ago or so, probably more than that, when I first started hearing about the population of New York City, and it was, you know, 3 million or something like that, and now it's what, 8 million something, right, somewhere around 8 million.
Yeah, although the population of New York has actually not increased very much over the last 30 to 40 years. It actually
really?
Went down. Yeah, it went down in the post-war era. There was particularly in the late 50s and early 60s, it went from 8 million to below 7.5 million to down to about 7.3 million, and now it's been building itself back up again in the last 30 to 40 years. I mean, a part of that, the lesson there is the population flow in New York had to do with urban problems.
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with rising crime. It had to do with faltering faltering school systems, and that's true of a lot of cities. And the cities that have rebuilt their population, if you will, are the cities that are tackling these issues successfully and drawing people back into them.
Well, what about the immigrants? What's the impact on our economy, on our society? What impact are they having right now?
The legal
and the illegal.
Yeah, it's a very broad question. But if we just take the population issue, most sort of experts estimate that the immigrants themselves and their children probably contribute 50 to 60% to population growth in the country. If we look at European countries that don't have a lot of immigration, a birth rate among white Europeans, birth rates are very low. They're practically at zero in terms of population growth.
In terms of replacement.
Exactly. And that creates all kinds of demographic issues, such as the aging of the population, that we're not quite dealing with at this point right now. Our combined birth rate, if you look at the birth rate of the native-born, and, you know, we have so many different ethnic groups in this country, mm-hmm. and they all have different birth rates, you know, we still have a birth rate that is creating growth in the country.
Was it like 2.3 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, exactly. But again, if you, as the economists say, if you disaggregate that, meaning if you look at the different, you know, groups, they're very different for different ethnic groups. But the point is what that brings us is a moderate amount of population growth, which I think at this point is you know sort of fairly sustainable. So we're really in the middle. We're not growing nearly as quickly as some third world countries, but we also don't have this sort of zero population growth of European countries, which is really, if you look at, you break that down demographically, some of the European countries, it's really startling what's happening, how few people are having children and how small families are, and that's creating a set of problems for them that are really sort of unanticipated. So we're not quite in that boat at all.
Mr. John Nesbitt was on my show about a week ago, he was talking in his book, in his new book, and I'm trying to think of the name, I'll think of it in a minute, but he'd be mad at me if he knew I couldn't say the name of his book. But anyway, he's talking about Europe, and he's talking about some of the things you were saying. He said Europe is on a path of mutually assured decline.
Right.
And he talks about the birth rates you were talking about. Steve, hold on to that thought. Folks, we're visiting with Steve Malanga. He's the author of The New Left, How American Politics Works Today. When we come back, I'm going to ask Steve about this growth in population relative to demand for workers. Is it any different today than it was, say, 100 years ago? 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's there for you. I hope you'll use it. It's free. Everything is there. It's free except for the books. But lots of good stuff there. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Steve Malanga is our guest, and he is the author of The New Left, How American Politics Works Today. And Steve, by the way, Mindset, the book that I mentioned earlier of John Nesbitt's, the book's called Mindset. That's his new one. Steve, we're talking about immigration with Steve Malanga, folks. And Steve, before we go any further, won't you go ahead and give us your website, please?
Oh, yeah, it's www.city-journal.org.
All right. And, of course, the Manhattan Institute that you also work with is Manhattan-Institute, as I remember.
Right. You can get to one from the other.
Okay, good deal. And the book, The New Left, is that have its own website? I know the books are available wherever books are sold.
It's on the website, and you can click from us to read about it, and then it will take you to Amazon if you want to buy it.
Yeah, well, and you're going to want to, folks. This is a fascinating book. Malanga is how you spell his last name. Steve, 100 years ago, we had an incredible influx of immigrants from Europe. for a number of reasons. There were a number of reasons they were leaving Europe, but they were, but one of the reasons they were coming here was because there was opportunity for them. What's the difference, if you think about it, other than the ethnicity? What's the difference in what's happening today across the Southwest border than what happened 100 years ago?
Well, I think there are a couple of differences. And number one, I know you're asking this question, Jim, because in one of my latest articles I wrote about this, and it's a fascinating mm-hmm. topic. We have this image of the immigrants from the first Great Migration from the 1880s through the 1920s as being extremely poor and destitute. And to a certain extent, of course, they were, because they were coming from countries where there was a lot of economic stagnation and a lot of political turmoil.
Potato famines,
exactly.
For example.
but the thing is that they actually tended to be fairly skilled workers who were mm-hmm. coming here, skilled in the sense that they had trades, that they had everything from the Italian stonemasons to the mm-hmm. Jewish garment makers and seamstresses. And they came to America at a time when we were going through a transformation in our economy from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy. And we really needed workers, especially skilled workers like that. And a number of studies that have been done showed that the immigrants who were coming were actually slightly more skilled than the native-born workforce that mm-hmm. was here at the time. So they really helped to supercharge the economy. And it was one of the reasons why we were able to absorb them so well. One of the crucial issues we face now is that some of our immigration and the way the immigration has been trending in the last 15 to 20 years is that it's increasingly focused on low-skilled, highly uneducated workers, mm-hmm. particularly from places like Mexico. 63% of all Mexican workers who come here don't have a high school education. And the problem is that our economy is moving in the other direction, demanding more and more from workers. Mm-hmm. Indeed, not having a high school education is one of the predictors of poverty in America these days. It's not
right.
like our economy doesn't work, but it's that if you're not ready for our economy, you're going to have trouble in that economy. And that's really where there's a somewhat of a mismatch today. And that I think, is what the immigration debate should be about, and is sometimes about, though not always. A lot of it is about cultural issues.
But Steve, a couple of things. Number one, we have plenty of jobs that are going wanting that Americans, educated Americans, don't want to do. That you and I, we see immigrants, we see Mexicans, we see the Hispanics doing a lot of these jobs. And by the way, a lot of these immigrants are in construction, and they're skilled, carpenters and bricklayers, and they're taking those jobs.
Well, it's true we have a lot of jobs that, as you say, educated Americans don't want to do. It's also true that we have about 30 million, I forget the exact number, unskilled native-born workers ourselves. So we also have unemployment rate among unskilled workers in America, native-born unskilled workers, is almost doubled the unemployment rate for the rest of the country. So we do have Americans who need those jobs, too, and this is a part of the great debate. One of the things that, I agree with you that there are certainly some of the immigrants are coming with skills and they are taking, mm-hmm. Jobs in the construction industry and so forth, but a lot of the studies that are now coming up, particularly studies that are looking at the evolution, for instance, of the Mexican-born workforce here in the United States, are showing very, very slow economic gains, and a lot of people really gathered or congregating in the very lowest economic percentile. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is immigrants aren't actually making it as quickly in America as they once did.
Steve, let me stop you for a second. I've only got 30 seconds left. President Steve Malanga, what would you do?
What I would do is I think on net immigration is great for America. I would focus immigration more the way countries like Australia and Ireland, which have growing economies, are also focusing it. I would focus it on skilled workers, not necessarily high-tech workers, but I would focus it on those skilled construction workers and
first
things
we got
like
to
that.
we got to stop the stop up the holes, though, don't we?
Right. Well, we need enforcement too, because we really can't have any discussions until we have enforcement. Right.
It's a sticky wicket, and it's a debate that will be going on for a long time. Steve Malanga, thank you for helping us have that debate on this show. We appreciate it.
Always nice.
Steve Malanga, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The New Left, and he's also contributing editor with the City Journal and a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. quick break. Right back with our good friend Beverly in Menebo. Right after these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.